So welcome you guys on this Thursday night. My name is Chloe Ballatore. I'm a relationship and communication expert. I'm a graduate of Princeton University and Pat Allen's Want Institute. I use the tools of transactional analysis as created by Eric Byrne. I use tools of androgynous semantic realignment as created by Pat Allen, who mentored me. And I use tools that I've come up with myself because I've already been doing this work for about 12 years now. I've also written four books on this work, and those are all available on Amazon. I'm going to put my links into the chat if you want to check those out. The first book has the basics in it. It's called How to Live, Find, Love, and Keep It. And all of the books talk about a different stage in the process of this work. My second book, New Ways of Being, The Pain of Change. Then Secrets to a Good Marriage, then Daddy Issues, Mommy Issues. Because the wonderful thing about this work and these tools is you can continue using them as you grow. You can still keep using these tools because the dynamics on which they're based are true and accurate and global. So, what are we talking about? I think most of you guys have been here before, but I'm going to give a brief overview of this work, the principles that it's based on. What's innovative about this work are the tools to execute on those principles and on that scholarship. A lot of times when we go to therapy, we have a pleasant experience of talking and having someone listen, but we don't necessarily get the tools we need to change our lives. And after a period of time, simply emotive therapy becomes frustrating for people, and they often want more. And that's really where this work comes in. If you want to see change in your life, if you're ready to change, then this work will absolutely help you. So I'm going to give a brief definition of the background of this work, the scholarship of this work, the science behind it, and then the bulk of the time I'm going to take your questions. And that way we can use the work to answer the questions and you guys can really see how it plays out. I can talk about theory all day, all night probably. But we don't really understand things until we can relate them to our lives and then try certain tools out, come back and update me on what's happening, how you're using these tools, how they're working, how some maybe something didn't work, how we can tweak it or fix it. These things are really useful when we're trying to grow and evolve and to make our lives better. And a big part of this work is learning how not to sabotage yourself in a subconscious or unconscious way from getting what you want out of life, specifically out of your romantic relationships. But I do help people with work stuff, family stuff, communication problems, conflict resolution. My specialty is dating and relationships, though. And I do this work because I know it helps people. I know it can make a change. And when I saw that I had an opportunity to share it, I wanted to do that. I don't help people who I find out are using this work for ill. As you guys know, some of you guys who've been with me for a little while now, because I've been doing this meetup for 2.5 years. I don't help people who use this work for ill. You will have an edge when you learn these tools. And that's okay when you use them in the service of love. But I don't care how much money you give me if you're not using them in the service of love, I will not help you. Okay. So when we talk about successful relationships, what we're talking about is the balance between yin and yang energy. And that really includes all relationships, including the relationship that you have with yourself. But specifically in romantic relationships, the most successful relationships are those that are balanced between yin and yang energy, also known as feminine and masculine. And the scholarship of feminine and masculine, of yin and yang, that goes back thousands of years, okay? But we also see that scholarship reflected in more recent studies of that were and experiments that were done on newts' brains in the 1980s by Roger Sperry, work for which he won a Nobel Prize. And that definitively illustrated that all of us have a feminine side and a right hemisphere of our brain, and all of us have a masculine or yang side in the left hemisphere of our brain. We can see these principles of yin and yang illustrated throughout science, psychology, literature. And when you start to know how to harness these dynamics, that's when you really start to see changes. That's what really gives you an edge, perhaps over other people, in understanding things, in understanding people, in seeing, for example, red flags. A lot of people come to me looking for, oh, well, you think this is a red flag? Well, you think that's a red flag? So this work almost helps you predict the future. And one of my favorite stories is my client who once asked me if I was a witch because I kept being right about things. And I'm not a witch, but having these tools and knowing this work makes it seem like I can tell the future sometimes. Okay. So, what is feminine and masculine? There's a big misunderstanding about these words, yin and yang, in general. And if you want to get more into yin and yang, there's a great book called The Yin Yang of Life by Dr. Kim and Dr. Lee. And it's a book that you can refer to over and over again because it breaks down everything in the world between yin and yang. Food. Food. Oops. Okay. Wine. Other alcohols, colors, times of day, work, objects, things that you would never even think could be classified between yin and yang are classified in this book. And every time I look at it, I learn something new. So if you're interested in that, you can check that out. And by the way, a lot of these resources are on my website. I also have a bibliography in the back of my first book, How to Live. And some of you can always reach out to me through my website or through Instagram or even through Meetup. Sometimes Meetup doesn't always tell me I'm a message, but I try to make myself available for you guys if you're in crisis or having a problem or a question, whatever it may be. Okay, so feminine and masculine. The right hemisphere is the yin energy, it's the feminine side. It is passive, patient, vulnerable. Yin energy is in the world to make it fun, but it's not of the world. It's anything pertaining to magic, sexuality, sensuality, creativity, non-linear thinking, the world of feelings, okay, of receiving. Then we have the masculine side, the left brain, the yang energy. This is single-mindedness. This is the world of doing, achieving, giving, competing, conquering, controlling, taking care of. Most of us are in our left brain when we're at work because work is mostly a yang activity. There's not a lot of room for feelings at work, right? And we live in a very masculinized society. And so that is one thing that I often help people with, especially women, is bringing up that feminine side within them, because a lot of us have been trained to only value masculine values, and that makes us what's known as unbalanced. More technical term is egodystonic, which we get into more in the modules that I teach. I teach this work a couple times a year, so if you guys are interested in that, you can sign up. Right now I have the module one going. We've already had one meeting, and it's just great to be going with this work again, because in the modules I get to really go deeper into the theory, and so people get a more profound understanding. We do homework, and when it's one thing to hear this information, but when you act on it, then you learn it at a different level, and then you share about what happened when you acted on it, then it sinks in even deeper. So that's the purpose of the modules. And that's just my method in general, is to kind of tunnel into the middle of your brain until you get triggered, and then we can deal with something. This work is meant to trigger you. And it's funny, I was watching a special about ayahuasca, and I guess that's the whole point of the ayahuasca therapy. Like doing ayahuasca therapy or ceremonies, what the narrator was saying was that it's meant to trigger you. It's meant to unearth some of these old patterns and old scripts so that you can address them and perhaps change them. And, it struck me that, my clients don't need to take ayahuasca for the most part. I mean, sometimes they do, and no judgment. Take it, don't take it, whatever works. But that's something that we achieve j by doing this work and using these tools. Is triggering, and then that gives us the opportunity to unearth some of these patterns and some of these scripts. Because what happens is, when we have childhood trauma, we get thrust oftentimes into ego dystonia or imbalance, because we're forced to attach to the people who take care of us, who own the refrigerator and provide the roof over our heads. And that attachment is almost always at the cost of our authenticity, simply because we're children, right? And we're relatively powerless. And we rely on these adults to survive physically. Now, later in life, when we're grown-ups and we don't need to rely on the adults in our life, and we're adults of our own, we can shift into authenticity over attachment. But the problem is, when we have certain childhood traumas and experiences, we develop coping mechanisms that we think are existential truths, but are really just strategies of the moment. And when we bring those coping mechanisms into our adult lives, what we tend to do is recreate the patterns of our childhood in the hopes that we can heal. Freud postulated childhood as the only reality, and he's not the only one. This was also the work of André Breton, the French surrealist. Patricia Highsmith, the mystery writer, also postulated childhood as the only reality. And you may have noticed that the things that have happened to you between the ages of 0 to 12 have a much greater impact on you than things that happen to you later in life. And that's simply because of the timing in which they happen. 0 to 12 covers most of our critical developmental windows as children. And so those things tend to be set a little deeper in stone in our brains. Now, Freud didn't know. We can change. We can change our brains. We're not cooked permanently. But it does take work, and it does take effort, and learning is painful, right? Change is painful, even change for the better. And so I also help people with that, understanding these patterns, understanding what's not serving them, and then substituting the pain that change needs to take place with the pain of change actually taking place. And then that pain obviously builds to a happier and more fulfilled, satisfying life. I've been doing this work, like I said, for 12 years. I've seen incredible results. That's what drew me into the work in the first place, is that I saw incredible results in a neighbor who really went from being kind of a loser in my eyes at the time, because she just was just always struggling, and a single mom, and just like never had any money and never had it together, and dated these kind of terrible guys. Started up this work in 3 years, to completely turn her life around. Married an incredible man, got a great job, was making like over $1 million a year when she was literally struggling to pay rent in an apartment before that. So when I saw that, that convinced me, and that's what I love about this work, is the results. That's where the proof is. And a lot of times when you do this work, you see results very quickly. sometimes in areas that you don't necessarily anticipate. And then sometimes you have a slowdown and sometimes a speed up. It's not all linear, but I do know if you stick with it, your life will improve. You will get more of what you want. You will see things more clearly. And there will be a greater integration of your identity, your authenticity in your daily actions. Okay. Now I'm going to open it up to questions. I hope you guys have been thinking. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, Chloe.
Welcome.
I have a question. I've been here before, and I was just listening to you describe, some of your work and the books and, just in general. And I have a question about pretty much not, well, I guess relationships, but my childhood issues, I feel, have been holding me back from having like a healthy relationship with someone. And I only say that because so my mom was a single parent, but she and my dad were together until I was 11. They separated. They never got divorced. They separated due to a number of issues. I don't know, she had issues with her in-laws and he never took her side. A bunch of family drama, okay, that I had no control over. And so 11 at 11 they separated, and then they got back together when I was in college at 20. So I was away, I was out of state for school. I knew they were getting back together, but I didn't think much of it. I had moved on, like my life was elsewhere, but so I like missed out on time with my dad that whole time, right? Other than brief phone conversations, I didn't actually see him. So, and then the whole time, those 7 or how many ever years in between, she was brainwashing me. My mom was saying, well, all men are bad, men can't be trusted.
That's
Just
so.
focus. Yeah, she basically, and I believed her. She brainwashed me. I believed her, and all that is still in my head now. She basically said things like, focus on your schoolwork, focus on your studies, just your career. That's the only thing that matters, your career. So that's what I did. I didn't date in high school, and I didn't date in college because of what she was saying, But then when she got back together with my dad and things started getting better for her, she changed her tune. And now her tune is totally different. Now I'm in my 40s and her tune is like, well, when are you going to get married? Okay, so it's kind of like, okay, I like my whole perception is like I'm trying to shift my per I have been trying to shift my perception. But the thing is, like, over the years I started like avoiding men. I just had like bad things that were said to me, about everything that happened
I
between us.
understand.
And now I do it, but I don't do it deliberately. I do it subconsciously. And I don't know how to get over that, and also the men before now, the men that I was attracting are like the kind of people who
You were
they come off,
choosing.
well, they kind of love bomb, okay? They love bomb, they come off as very charming, but then in the end, they're only after me for what I can provide for them,
So it's become like a self-fulfilling prophecy where your mom has predicted this and you've internalized that message, and now the only men you will pick are men that fulfill that role.
Not consciously, not consciously.
Not consciously, but the subconscious will do it like in a way we could never plan it out.
Yeah, so when I finally thought I met someone who is like a friend now, I guess you could say, who is not like that, right? Who is like a provider. He wants to put he's the type of person who would want to put somebody in their feminine energy because he's a masculine person. So to me it was very foreign. But like, well, what is this? Like, what is this? And then it all made sense when you were talking about yin and yang energies, but it's still foreign to me. And now I know that's kind of what I want. You know what I mean? So how do I like get over this? Like, I'm in therapy, but I'm in therapy for a number, like I have work issues, like I'm working through, like I'm in therapy for a number of things, not particularly this thing,
And a lot of times this isn't something that gets solved in therapy. Okay, so first of all, this is, the first step is awareness, and so you're there with that, which is great. And you're starting to realize how you've sabotaged or how you've chosen men to fulfill this script in an unconscious or subconscious way. But now you've met somebody who doesn't do that, which is wonderful. Like you were starting to say, it's very uncomfortable because it's new and you can't trust it and it's not familiar. See, the thing about you picking the men that fulfilled what your mom said about men is that even though that's not bringing you fulfillment, it's not bringing you joy, it is bringing you some degree of comfort because it's familiar. And then you get to see, oh, I was right. She was right. And that gives you a certain amount of comfort, but it doesn't, but it's limited. And so now you're bumping up against that. And you don't want that anymore. So venturing into this new way of being is going to be somewhat painful for you. Even though it's a change for the better, like you've already been saying, you've met somebody else and you're like, what is this? Holy shit. Like, this is so different. Sometimes it can feel even like you're dying when you're learning how to receive from a man and giving up that control and giving up some of those old beliefs is something of a death, right? That's why in Christianity they call it being reborn. When you have a big spiritual, psychological evolution, it is like a rebirth. So I want you to expect that there will be discomfort as you make this change into choosing men who are not, do not fit the pattern that was taught to you in childhood. And you're gonna just have to stick with it and be really conscientious and conscious and aware about doing it. So you have this guy, and are you dating anybody else, or are you doing your
No,
certs, or what are you doing?
like I said, I'm in my 40s. I basically work full time. I work like 60 to 70 hours a week. It's a corporate job. So basically I don't have a lot of free time to meet people. Like I'd like to be seeing like 2 to 3 people so I can figure
Right.
out what I want, what I don't want, whatever. But I don't have the time and I don't even know where to meet them. And I know you've talked about this with other people, like where to meet people, But the thing is, that's something I'll need to work on in my free time.
Did I
But I
talk
did,
to you about the five flirts?
you talked to one of the other participants, but I didn't catch that.
Okay,
So.
so let me tell you about the five flirts because these are pretty efficient and you don't need a ton of time to do them. So what you're going to be doing is you're going to be flirting 5 days a week. 4 of those days are going to be in the process of your day. So if it's walking to lunch, if it's, going to the grocery store, whatever it is that you're doing as part of your day, if you see someone that catches your eye and you think you might be attracted to, give him 5 seconds of eye contact and smile at the same time. That's your signal to him that he can approach, okay? One
Okay.
day a week, and you can do this on Saturday or Sunday if you're too busy during the week, you're going to pick a spot. You're going to go there, a place where you like the kind of men that hang out there, a hotel bar, a golf course, a dog park, whatever it is. Plant yourself there. 45 minutes to an hour, go alone, bring your phone or whatever. But that way, when somebody does catch your fancy, you can give them the eye contact and smile, and then they have a chance to actually approach because you're seated, right? So it's a little bit easier. And if you find this place that you really like, then you develop a certain level of comfort and people get to know you. That's why a lot of people end up dating people at work because you get to know somebody without the pressure of continually setting up dates. So try starting to do those flirts, doing that eye contact and smile. My prediction is that that's going to be challenging for you. But I want you to do it and then let me know how it goes. Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much. I just wanted to say it was like the thing you said about the uncomfortableness of, meeting somebody who's like healthy, who's like n normal. It's very that's just that it's very uncomfortable. Like when I was having an issue with something, this friend that I told you about, he wanted to help me. He wanted to talk through it. Let's meet. Let's, you know, because he wanted to help me
Good.
through it. And it was very, I couldn't even meet with him. It was so uncomfortable because I'm so used to solving my own problems. You know, no one's
But
been
I
there.
want you, if that comes up again, I want you, I don't care how nervous you are, go meet with him.
Okay.
Receive the compliments. Don't tell people you don't tell people, don't try to talk people out of compliments. So often people are given compliments. They're like, "Oh, you look lovely. Oh, this old thing? This is so old." Like, no, don't do that. Really bite your tongue. If he asks you how your day is, say it was wonderful or it was shitty or whatever it was. Don't just go into, "Great, how was your day?" Okay?
Okay.
It's going to be difficult, but please try to sit back a little and receive. You have to start taking some counteractions against this script or it's not going to change.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Raul, do you remember who's next?
Rose. Rose
Rose.
is next.
Okay. Hi, Rose. Are you
Hi,
there?
can you hear me?
Yes. Hi, welcome.
Yes.
How can I help you?
Hey. So I have been to this meetup several times, and I think just now the previous person talking about the five flirts, it was you talking to me last time.
Oh, okay.
I just realized I still haven't seen anyone that attractive
You
enough
haven't done any of
flirt.
the
No, nobody is attractive enough, and I was still looking at the app. A lot of people like me, but I look at them. Okay, here is the problem. Occasionally, has someone is attractive, but they are too much younger, which I
That's not a
don't want to.
problem. Why is that a problem? Are they under 18?
No, of course
Okay.
not.
It has
Maybe
to be over 18.
maybe 3 or 5 years younger than me, which
That's not a
I think
problem. Why is
may
that
not
a
be
problem?
compatible.
No,
A lot of
that's no.
activity may not be compatible, I think.
Here's my position on age difference. I don't think it's always a problem, even big age differences. Age differences only become a problem when one person is predatory and the other person doesn't know what they're getting into. But there have been some very successful love stories and with big age differences. I have a client right now. Everyone loves this client because it's such a kind of hopeful story. But I have a client right now. She's in her 80s. She's in the best relationship of her life with a
My
guy
ex,
30 years younger.
wow, my ex is almost 7, 8 months younger than me, and he is cheating with someone who is 12 years younger than me. So I'm just not interesting to meet someone too old or too much younger
Well,
and
don't
want
cut
to be
yourself off
my
just
age.
because your ex is doing something.
Yeah, I told me that, but when I was looking at that guy, I was thinking, that's too much younger. Although I'm in a
Well, do
very
whatever
healthy
you want. I'm just
condition.
saying one of the ways that we begin to change our scripts is to be open to new ways of being. Oftentimes, there are people in our lives already who we might be interested in dating, but we can't see them because we have blinders on. And by blinders, I mean scripted reactions to things. Okay. And I've often told the story of this guy who was going to the gym every morning and was telling me, "I'm not meeting anyone there." Then he started playing volleyball with a group of people. And one of the people there said, "I see you at the gym every morning." And it was a really cute guy, and he was stoked because he's gay. So he was like, "Oh my God, I've never seen you there." And sure enough, after that, he started seeing him there. So I just want you to try to stay open at this time because you're relatively newly single and you don't want to be crossing anyone off your list.
Yeah, and
Sometimes we're really bad at predicting what will make us happy.
do you of course you try to, and we agree, organic way to meet someone is the best.
But do you think it's still okay if we can find someone just online? Because when I look at picture online, just pictures and profiling, I don't have feelings when I just look at pictures.
Right. You have to see them in person to know if you
Yeah,
have chemistry.
talk to the person on the.
Yes.
But
Yes.
if
Hear
I
their
don't, I'm,
voice. Where
yeah.
women are very susceptible to hearing the voice.
That's right. If I'm not even interested in seeing them on picture, I can't even make the moves they like teach.
Right. And see, that's why I think apps do a disservice because they cross out people that maybe if you met in person, you wouldn't cross out, or you consider people that if you met in person, you wouldn't consider. I just think the app can be misleading. It doesn't mean that you can't meet on an app. I have clients who've met on apps and are in happy relationships. So it does work sometimes. But it's just, if you can augment that with some in-person flirting. And
Yeah,
why do you
last
think,
year.
don't avoid the in-person flirting. I know it sounds really simple to give someone eye contact and smile, but it can be psychologically challenging. That doesn't mean you should avoid it or stay away from it, though.
If that person does not look at me, does that mean he's nervous or does it mean he's not interested?
I would just take it as not interested.
Okay.
Who cares if he's nervous, if he's too nervous to look at you? I mean, where, how are you going to start anyway?
Okay.
Does that answer
Yeah.
your question?
Yes. For now. I mean,
Okay.
of course, later, but thank you.
Okay, so try to get in there and do some in-person flirting.
Okay.
Okay. It sounds really simple, but you guys will meet people that way. Okay. Jasmine.
Hi, Chloe. Hi.
Hi, welcome. How can I help you?
Yeah, so I was wondering, like you mentioned earlier, when you are dating, you can just have the man pay.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I just wonder, like, how many dates and then you should start offering or take turns.
Right. Okay. So typically during the courting phase, you let the men pay. Then when you get into the relationship, maybe you're paying like 2 to 1, him paying twice, you paying once. Obviously it's not one size fits all. It does depend somewhat on the circumstances of the person and the people involved. But that's a good ratio to keep in mind.
Yeah, cause but like in courting stage, like cause what I mean, I don't know how many days. So what if enjoying too long?
Well,
Then.
if he's not asking you to be his girlfriend, right? Then you're still courting. A lot
So.
of times a man will ask to be or become a woman's boyfriend at the moment because they want to have sexual intercourse. Okay. So that's one reason to wait so that we can use that as leverage. And
So
also protect our vulnerability.
yeah. So, but is there like general, like rough, kind of range? How long that courting stage lasts?
Not really. How long has it been lasting?
I mean, I'm kind of just wondering because I'm kind of. I guess I'm always a little bit nervous in this aspect because I was always worried about seeming entitled or thinking people think I take advantage of them. So
That's
that's
because your feelings haven't been cherished before.
what, sorry, what?
That's because your feelings haven't been cherished before. You're not used to receiving, just like Elizabeth. You're not used to receiving.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I guess I kind of resonate with Elizabeth. I kind of like the upbringing I brought up was always sort of like a little bit of a equality. If like I'm getting more than I give, I feel like I guess uncomfortable. And I you know when because I was brought up in China, and when I heard first heard the thing provider, I couldn't even understand I couldn't even believe in why would people just
Right.
provide. I
Right.
was.
So, right. So what you're talking about, the Chinese culture, but it's also happened in the States as well, is that there was a kind of a cultural shift where women were fighting for equal access to jobs and equal pay. And that's very important, right? That's a big part of the feminist movement, is getting that economic equality. But strict equality in relationships tends to kill the chemistry. And unfortunately, people have conflated a lot of the feminist movement, which is really an economic movement, and made it kind of into a psychological movement. And some women have responded to not getting their feelings cherished by men, being abandoned by men, being abused by men, as the reason to become men themselves, right? Well, I'll take care of myself. I'll get a job. I'll achieve things. I won't need a man, right? And women have been taught this at sometimes by other women, sometimes by their mothers, and with the best of intentions, right? As a way of protecting them. And unfortunately, it's had the opposite effect. Now, of course, I believe if you don't have a man in your life, or if your man isn't cherishing your feelings, you do need to cherish your feelings yourselves. But what that movement doesn't take into account is the differences between men and women. Men need to do good to feel good, but women need to feel good to do good. And so when we fall into the masculine pattern of doing good to feel good, of doing good to feel good, yeah, it doesn't work for us. It burns us out. A man will get something out of doing good, okay? Then he'll feel good. But a woman doing good too much when she doesn't feel good, you'll get sick. And you don't want that.
Yeah, I agree with that. So, but my wonder, I'm just kind of like wonder whether there's a rule, like I mean, not a rule, but like because I keep wondering, like which date number one, or like which date should I start? Like if the quoting straight is dry.
Wait till he asks you to be his girlfriend.
Oh,
I
okay.
mean, if you want, if he's taking you out to dinner, you can go buy the ice cream,
Okay.
But don't start paying for dinners yet. Don't start paying for concert tickets.
Okay. Well, what if you started out as friends first and you were going Dutch and then you gradually kind of does this rule still apply?
Yeah. I mean, that's a little nuanced. Like I said, it's nothing is one size fits all. So you guys started out as friends, going as Dutch. I mean, that's, normal. I hope that if he's in the masculine energy, that he is he trying to pay for you? Is he trying to switch? How is it switching? How do you
So,
know it's switched into the romantic?
just like we kind of like he kissed me on the lip,
Okay.
and then we even kind of like had a little bit of a touched, like I mean only the upper body. But then, but I was like, I did have a mind shift. My expectations got higher. But then. Like he invited me to dinner in his place, and he also gave me chicken soup while I was sick. So kind of inviting him to dinner on his birthday, and I paid. And he said, "Oh, I invite you to dinner on my birthday too, and he will pay." But then he said, "Oh, on your birthday, do you want to go see a play?" I said, "Yeah." He said. Okay. So he showed me the play. He said, "Oh, the tickets are a little like over $100. Is that okay with you?" So I said, "Oh, it's not that I cannot afford it, but I don't think it's worth it." So I said, "Can we find cheaper tickets? I don't need such good seats." And he started saying, I like really good seats with this play. So maybe I just see it myself. So do you think that's a really big no-no?
Well, it's kind of rude.
Yeah.
It's kind of non-cherishing. I mean, you might have thrown it off a little bit by treating for that dinner. So now
Okay.
he's trying to see, oh, well, what can I get away with? You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, not that he's a bad person, but people, are gonna push to see what they can get, It doesn't necessarily mean he's an asshole. We'll have to see more behavior from him over time. People don't learn this stuff in school. So he started paying for you, but then you were like, no, let me pay. So now he's a little thrown off. So now he's gone back into the friend zone thing. Oh, well, let's go to this play. Do you want to buy the tickets or what? So it's like that. I would just say, I do want to see the play, but I don't want to pay for the ticket. I'm happy to accompany you. And then just see what he does. If he just decides to do whatever, then that's information you have. Just in the future going forward, try to receive from him instead of trying to give to him in a tit for tat equality way. He's not going to cherish you if you do that. Then you're going to be taking ca too much care of him, and then that becomes sort of a maternal figure, and that will kill the chemistry. So he needs to be able to take care of things for you for the chemistry to stay alive.
So, because I kind of, because he invited me to dinner at his place, even though it wasn't like a really great
That's
dinner.
okay.
It's like just some chicken.
Is he a
Anyway,
good cook or was it crap food?
it's okay. And I was also a little bit kind of because I remember he showed me pictures. He said he invited other people to dinner for salmon. So I think, oh wow, why did you only do
Why'd I
chicken?
get chicken? Right.
Yeah.
Well, right. Try not to be too judgmental. I mean, he made you dinner. That's nice.
Okay. Yeah, so then he also, when I was sick, also brought me chicken soup. So I felt,
Also very nice.
yeah, but then I started feeling very sort of like, I feel like I need to reciprocate. So that's why
I understand that. So
yeah.
next time you feel the need to reciprocate, sit on your hands
Okay, yeah.
or
Okay.
talk to me.
Right, okay.
Okay. And
Yeah.
we'll go through whether or not it's appropriate and why or why not.
Okay, so just don't do big things. Maybe I can receive the small things, I guess, right?
Yeah, but let him give for a while first.
Okay, yeah.
Okay? You
Right.
this is what you're going to do. You're going to be available to his leadership,
Okay.
okay? You're going to respect his thoughts. You're
Okay.
going to ask him for help with something. Okay?
Okay.
You're going to let him initiate the conversation and the dates.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
And we're going to and you're going to lead with your feelings. See if he cherishes your feelings. If you're on a date and you t say tell you say you're cold and he goes, it's hot in here and ignores you, that's non-cherishing. So we got to see how he's acting over time now that you know how to guide him more into the masculine.
Right.
Does
Yeah.
that make sense?
Yeah, does it also mean
Okay.
I should try not to initiate messages also?
Yes,
Okay.
please do. Please try to stop doing that. That
Okay.
doesn't mean, but when he texts, don't be mean. Where were you? What da, 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 da. Just be available. Oh, wonderful. I'm happy to hear from you. Okay.
Okay,
If he
yeah.
says, how was your day? You're not going to tell him, oh, I'm so stressed out at work. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I'm doing this. You're going to say, I'm a little tired. I'm gonna take a nap, or I've been really happy, or you're gonna say something feelings, okay?
Okay, sounds great. Thank you
Okay.
so much
Good
for
luck.
having
Let me know how it goes.
me. Yeah, thank you.
As you guys know, I love to hear your updates. So in addition to your questions, you can also give me an update. Did you have another question, Jasmine? No? Okay, I'm gonna
Oh,
look.
thank you so much.
Okay, you're welcome.
Yeah.
Okay. Da-da. Okay. Okay, any more questions or comments about anything that's been said or updates, how you guys are doing with these tools? I'll put my credentials again into the chat. We've had some really meaty, good questions tonight. Again, I work with men, I work with women, I work with couples. We can set up private. It's usually better when I work with people who have been to meetup or know this work, but I also work with complete and total strangers. So, Raul. Raul, did you want to say something?
Yeah, I was my mute was stuck.
Oh.
So, no, I just wanted to reassure the ladies that were commenting about the wanting to share with the meals and stuff like that, paying. I was talking to my partner about this just right now on the while we were on the call, and I understand a lot of women feel like paying is helping them protect them and all that. But any guy that wants to offer dinner and then expect something after that is not worth, that's information that you need to know.
Yes, very good point. Thank you for adding that, Raul. Thank you. I know a lot of women come in here and they're just like, "What?" So thank you for doing that. Thank you for adding that. Okay. Elizabeth, you have another question?
Yes, I just wanted to ask, so how would I even know if a man is cherishing my feelings? Like what would be the signs of something like that? I think
Good
once,
question.
yeah, once you had used the example, like you could say, well, I'm cold, and then like maybe if he shuts the window or something like that, but like
Yes.
That might not be a place, like I'm not at that place yet where I would be in that situation. So, how, what else? Like, what would be the subtle hints or, something that I could pick up on?
Right. Okay, so it's easier to see if a man's cherishing your feelings when you're leading with your feelings. So in general, like if you're having a conversation and you say, "Yeah, I just felt really uncomfortable," do they try to talk you out of it? Do they tell you you have no right to feel uncomfortable? Do they try to discount your feelings, tell you that you didn't actually feel that? Or do they listen to you and go, "Oh yeah, I understand that."
Okay, that actually happened to me. I told the man that I, who was a friend, I told him I was uncomfortable with something else that was going on, in my life that he's aware of, that has nothing to do with him.
Okay.
And he his response was immediately, he had already been trying to get me to talk to him, like meet with him, or to discuss this. And then he immediately said, "That's why we need to meet, so that I can help you through this."
I mean,
Or,
that sounds very promising.
okay.
So that's a good sign. I understand when you say respect thoughts, cherish feelings, that that doesn't necessarily conjure up something. So part of the work is exploring what that means to you as well, right? And sometimes people don't understand that there's an actual difference between thoughts and feelings. So it's important that you understand that feelings are usually one word: happy, sad, mad, confused, irritated, annoyed, insecure, confident, right? I feel like you're an asshole is not a feeling. That's a thought. So it's different. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Chloe, can I add something to this?
Yes, add.
Yeah, from my perspective, I see that when a man is attentive to your wants and needs, that's a sign that that he's wanting to cherish your feelings. And also, I want to point out that it doesn't have to be someone you're interested in that cherishes your feelings. I mean, strangers also cherish women's feelings as
Yes.
well.
Yes. And I love you that you said that because sometimes when we're not even in relationships, you can practice trying to get your feelings cherished by just leading with your feelings in your daily life. Maybe not at work, but you're talking to ATT on the phone. I don't feel good about this charge on my bill. And see how it plays out, you know? But just start practicing leading with your feelings. I'm really glad you brought that up. Thank you, Raul.
Well, I meant like also, you know how men open your doors and help you with
Exactly.
carry the
Yes,
water.
enjoy it. Please enjoy it. Step aside for you, pull out a chair for you. Yes. Ask you if you need help across the street. Okay. Okay. Adil. Hi, Adil. Welcome back.
Hi, Chloe. Thank you so much. I just want to ask, is my audio okay? Because I'm on speaker and sometimes
Yes,
talk.
I can hear you okay.
Okay, great. Just let me know if there's any feedback or echo or anything. Yeah, so I had just had a quick question. I want to know, like, in your opinion, like how can a guy because how can a guy express their interest in a lady they meet? And not come off as too offensive or too I guess intrusive, because the reason I ask is like I feel like in today's environment, or this is something I've just come to sort of practice, is like especially with sexual harassment that occurs in society, a lot of women don't want they don't want to solicit attention, and they don't want that attention on them. They don't want to, invite or,
Yeah, I mean, there's been, we've talked about that in this group a lot. The Me Too movement is really something that's happening in the workplace. And the idea of men being creeps comes from men who don't hear the word no. So it's okay to ask and it's okay to say no. Okay. Now, the reason I talk about the eye contact and smile is because if a woman gives you that 5 seconds of eye contact and smile, that's a pretty good sign that you can approach. Okay. That she's interested in hearing what you have to say. Now, are there women who do a bait and switch on you, who pretend they're interested and then shut you down, who play games with men? Of course. And a lot of women have been trained to just lure as many men in as possible and then make their decision later. Nevertheless, you're still going to have to go out there and try to make a connection with a woman. And as you practice and do it, you learn this work, you will start to see and you will be able to tell the difference between a woman who's playing games and who's genuinely interested. But for the time being, you're just starting with this work. So for the time being, if you're interested in someone, if she gives you eye contact and smile, approach with something, see how it goes, if you're talking to a woman for a while and it's going really well, how do you feel about my take? I want to take you to dinner. How do you feel about that? If she says, actually, I'm already seeing someone, or thank you, but no, then okay. And you move on. It's not a big deal. These things tend to be very triggering because they triggers a hearkening back to a childhood wound. So it always echoes that early rejection that we've had. All of us have had early rejections on the playground or by our parents or a sibling or whoever. And so it hits that script and it then appears to confirm some unpleasant truth about ourselves that we believe. And that's the gift of a script is that you can, and a trigger is that you then have the opportunity to take a counteraction against it and go, no, that's not it. This was just a girl I met. She seemed cool. I asked her out. She said, no, it's no big deal. Move on. Or she said yes. But if you never go to the game, you're never going to have it. If you don't play the game, you're never going to have a chance for someone to say yes. And rejection's just built into the game. You should expect to get rejected more than you get accepted. That's just the nature of the beast. But if you go by the eye contact and smile, you try to cherish your feelings, you lead with your thoughts, that will give you your best chance at success. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Actually, last time you had also mentioned, you had discussed with me, chemistry and compatibility. And it's one thing to share chemistry, but even then you have to clear compatibility. You have to share that as
Yes,
well.
and communication. Those are the three C's you need: chemistry, compatibility, and communication.
Okay. Yeah, I'm actually on that on the point of communication. I don't know what it is, but lately I've been thinking to myself, I have to develop a better habit of expressing myself and communicating better my thoughts and my feelings or my interest. And I'm still sort of at the early stages of exploring how I can do that. Maybe reading out loud or certainly not talking to myself doesn't help, but like socializing a lot more, because like, yeah, it's just I don't know, as I it's just, work, doing work all the time kind of desocializes you in a way and kind of lose some of those communication skills. But I wanted to say too, on the point of compatibility, I really appreciated what you said because it made me realize, that it's not a, it's not a loss to explore, your chemistry and compatibility with a potential partner. Because, at the end of the day, if it doesn't work out and you're interested, but or they're interested, or but you don't share the same goals, you don't have long-term compatibility, then it's all for the best, for it to end right there and not develop further. And so it kind of, it was a release for me in a way, and it kind of made me feel like, it's okay to, it's not a rejection per se, but it's I guess it's a it's a I guess it helped me see like a potential relationship that doesn't manifest in a good way, in a good light. And so I, yeah.
Very good. And as long as you're doing this stuff, as long as you're doing these tools, if you're identifying what you want, acting on it, leading with your thoughts, that's a success for you anyways, because you can't control another person, what they, if they like you, they don't like you, or whatever. All you can do is put your best foot forward. And that in and of itself will help you build confidence and will change your energy so that you do attract and align with people, with women. Every relationship isn't meant to last forever anyways. All relationships end in death or divorce, right? So nothing is permanent. So even if a relationship, like you said, doesn't end up going the distance, or you don't get married or whatever, you still learn things from them, and you practice these tools. That's kind of the idea behind duty dating, is you go out with people that maybe you're not even hugely interested in, but you just do it to practice these tools so that when you are interested, really interested in somebody, you won't be so nervous. You'll have a little momentum going. A lot of it, all this work's all about energy. So part of duty dating and doing the five flirts is to help you get some momentum going. Okay, I'm gonna wrap it up now. I know you guys have a few more questions. You can bring them next week, or you can reach out to me. I'll put my credentials in the chat one more time. I always have my signups going for my modules, but we did just start, so I don't know when the next module one will be. I'd probably be doing a module two after this, but still sign up. That always helps me know how many people are interested, and then that sometimes will accelerate me doing the next round. Of course, I love doing privates. I love doing this meetup. You guys can hear the podcast and the recording on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. And if I don't speak to you before then, I will see you back here. Have a good night.